Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. Great to be with you on a glorious weekend, Saturday afternoon here in the great state of Texas. Wow, it has been an eventful week. I seem to say that every week, right? But that's what happens when you live in a state that is not afraid to take leadership and to take the issues that they come and do something about it. And we're going to jump right into the show because we've got a tight schedule today. We have our first guest on the show is Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. General Paxton is the 51st Attorney General of the great state of Texas, a tremendous lawyer, very distinguished career in the House and the Senate, as you know, and he has not wasted any time of making his leadership presence and felt in the great state of Texas and across the state of Texas. And there was a very important ruling on a court case that we're going to talk about today on the issue of privacy and safety for public schools, and not just for Texas, but across the country. So let me go ahead and welcome to the show Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate you having me on, and it certainly is a great day.
General Paxton, we want to get right into this ruling. There's a lot of stuff that's happened this week, but that was Monday. Things started off. A lot's happened since then. But let's focus on that, and then I'll just, as we conclude, let you maybe make a comment about the latest lawsuit that was filed later in the week. But on Monday, Judge Reed O'Connor, out of the federal court in the north part of the state, put a tremendous ruling. Actually, it was late Sunday night, I guess, that the ruling came out just before the first day of school of the majority of public schools in the state of Texas, putting a hold on the Obama administration's effort to force public schools in Texas and across the country to allow boys into girls' bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, and a whole lot of other concerning things. Tell us a little bit about that ruling and your thoughts as we move forward on this issue.
Well, it was a big victory for the children and parents of Texans, and really for the entire country. The judge put in place a preliminary injunction, which means that he put on hold the implementation of the Obama's bathroom and locker room and shower guidelines. And so schools don't have to worry right now about being investigated. They don't have to worry about losing their funding, and parents don't have to worry about the safety of their children, because right now Texas schools can handle these issues on their own, and that's what we're hoping the future leads to.
Well, a very, very emphatic decision, and it wasn't just a couple of pages. I mean, the opinion stretched on, I think, for close to 40 pages. And I found interesting, too, that the judge said there were two main reasons that happened here on this issue. I mean, obviously, you and I and many of us agree how concerning just in practice this type of policy is, but just getting to the policy itself and the guidelines, the Obama administration did not even follow the rules. The judge said that the government did not comply with the Administrative Procedures Act, which would require notice and comment before implementing something of this nature. And then the judge went on to say that the actual directives itself was in contradiction, in direct contradiction with already existing legislative and regulatory text, with existing law. And so, you know, how dare the Obama administration, right, try to directly change and redefine law, not like it's nothing they've done before. But I think really strong message from the federal court that'll be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the federal government to get around. And now, moving a step forward, I know that you've put out a letter just to Texas public schools so they're aware of this, because these things happen sometimes. There's a court ruling, and even though you've got a lot of great media attention, we've got close to 1,200 school districts, it's possible that some of them may not be aware of this decision.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the reason we put the letter out. We wanted the schools to realize and know that they didn't have to worry, you know, because there's a lot of misinformation in the media about all kinds of issues, and so we wanted the school districts around the state to understand that they're not under any threat right now of having to change their policies to match the edict the Obama administration was trying to push down their throats. And so they can move on and they can handle any of these situations, you know, the way that their school district and their parents and their school board sees fit. So that's why we put the letter out. And obviously, you know, we believe the judge got it right in talking about the fact that the Obama administration didn't follow the law. They didn't follow the Administrative Procedures Act, and they certainly didn't follow the statute that Congress put in place. And that's been our problem with the Obama administration, obviously, for the entire time, is that they have focused on being more legislative than certainly allowed by the Constitution.
Well, and we've seen in a number of fronts for them to try to change the definition of Title IX to get their way, their opinion on some of these issues, and, you know, try to convince people that, oh, that's always been there. I mean, that, you know, the definition of sex is always considered this way. But I thought it was interesting in the judge's decision, it appeared that they cited from something that Eric Holder submitted, and it was in quotes, that the federal government's view or definition or position on what sex means has been evolving over time. And I'm thinking, where have we heard those words and that phrase before? But you're right, it's important for the school districts to know, because look, what they were facing, as you and I know, and in case our listeners don't know, they were facing the threat of losing federal funding. So kids are going back to school, you know, parents are anxious, whatever, all the things that go with your first week or two of school, trying to get them in there and trying to get homework done and start that whole process again. And they've got another thing to worry about, that they're going to have their federal funding yanked. And I think schools, when they see that, that does make them concerned.
Realize how Machiavellian this is. I mean, really, you've got no legislative involvement. You've got no public hearing on this issue. You've got no involvement of the citizens of this country. You've got no involvement of the representatives of this country. And they're gonna push down a policy, and they're gonna enforce it by taking away federal funding. So, I mean, it was really important that we get this stopped in its tracks, because otherwise, many of the school districts would have probably felt compelled to make the change. And so, I'm grateful that we were able to at least stop it for now, and hopefully, I think we're very likely, as you said, to win once we go to trial.
Well, you're right. It was over the top, and it does remind us of what happened in Fort Worth. Before they tried to push that policy and implement it, they did not have parents involved. They did not have a public hearing. Thankfully, there was a big pushback. We issued a legal opinion that we submitted to your office when the request came in about illegalities in the Fort Worth School District regarding a similar policy. Your office stepped in and issued a very strong opinion, making it clear that the Fort Worth School District was violating the law. But some of that, you have to, I think a lot of us believe, came about because people in Fort Worth were thinking, oh, well, this is what the Obama administration is doing, so it must be okay.
Oh, there's no doubt, and that's why we sought, just like you have, to educate the public about what the law is and what their rights are as parents. And they have every right to be involved in this decision. They have every right to protect the safety of their children. And as I've said often about this issue, when it was brought up by the superintendent of Fort Worth, or whether it was pushed by the Obama administration, this has been a solution in search of a problem. This is something the school districts have dealt with for years. It hasn't been a major issue bubbling up to the legislature, and it's been resolved locally by parents, students, and school board members involved with whatever situation they're dealing with.
Well, that's absolutely right. And if you want to see more information about what the Attorney General's office in Texas is doing on this issue, you can go to texasattorneygeneral.gov, texasattorneygeneral.gov. If you want some analysis and commentary on the work that our organization has done, you can go to txvalues.org to see this. We've been talking with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And if you have one more minute, I know there was a lawsuit that was filed later in the week because, you know, the Obama administration didn't stop with public schools, right? Now they want to force they want to force doctors and other people to have to be forced through Obamacare to perform sex reassignment surgeries when it comes to issues of sexuality, a surgery and a process that is still very controversial. We still don't know a whole lot about, and it seems like there's a lot of negative attention around that and concern. And so, you know, that was just later in the week. We're just at the beginning. Your office is at the beginning of that. But it reminds us that we have to be vigilant. We have to not be afraid to step forward, because the other side is going to keep pushing on this issue.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. We did file that lawsuit. We did it for many of the same reasons we filed the original lawsuit. And it was, again, this one affects doctors, hospitals, nurses, forcing them potentially to violate their conscience, forcing them to violate their own medical judgment. And in other cases, forcing taxpayers to pay for this. And we think there's no statutory or legal authority for the Obama administration to require this.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, too, because at some point, and then there are already studies out about this, but at some point, you know, when these surgeries, some of them go through, and you have people later on saying, you know what, I'm not sure that that was a good idea. They've taken away, or they're trying to take away, that opportunity for a doctor to make a decision about that, and taking away the whole analysis when it comes to a patient and whether or not it's a good idea for a patient. And so I think there are a lot of concerns. We'll talk more about that in the days to come, but I wanted our listeners to be aware, just as another example of how active your office has been in meeting the challenges when they come. I know you've got a meeting to go to, and we appreciate your taking your time for your leadership on this issue. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been our guest today. Thank you, General Paxton.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Okay, good. That was a great update. He has got a very active schedule on any day, as you know, and with a lot that's been happening this week, he's been moving around the state trying to inform people of what the ruling was from the court and these other issues that have been coming up. And, you know, we're very encouraged by that. You know, we, our organization does a lot of work when it comes to these policy issues. We also get involved on the legal front. But, you know, when you take on a lawsuit of this size, having the Texas Attorney General's office, which has thousands of employees, and they've got an opportunity to reach much more people. They've banded together with 12 other states on this litigation. And, you know, that is something that you can't underestimate, and it's hard to put a value on. And so that is why I think there's more and more strength to this issue. It's gotten more attention. And other states have said, you know what, we don't think this issue is right either. We want to stand with Texas. And so it's very encouraging on an issue that I would say a couple of years ago, people weren't really sure about. They didn't know a whole lot about it, and they weren't really having a handle on how it would impact other areas. And now that we have more of a sense of it, you know, I just want to mention something. A couple of years ago, an article was written by the Statesman, and they do it in their PolitiFact segment where they try to fact check you and say, you know, we're going to fact check what this group has said. There was an ordinance like the one in Houston and similar to what Obama's doing, that now on a number of fronts on these sexuality issues out of San Antonio. And our legal analysis on this issue told us that this would affect the bathroom issue and it would allow men to go into women's bathrooms. And we firmly believe that's what their side wanted, even though they were trying to be coy about it in some of the public hearings. So we made that statement, we made that claim, and the Statesman did a PolitiFact fact check on us and claimed that our you know, our contention, our opinion on this was mostly false, which is kind of silly. It's usually that means they don't want to agree that we actually made a good point, but they don't want to come out and say that their judgment was off. Nonetheless, my point is everyone was like, oh, well, that's got to not, you know, that couldn't be true. No one's really trying to do that. And now you have them finally admitting, oh, yeah, that's exactly what we want. And not that I'm trying to say I told you so, but that's what happens. This is why we do the work we do. This is the expertise we have. We can see what's coming down the road. And it's not something that we're always excited about, but we got to let people know what's on the horizon. And I can't remember a time where we've been wrong on an issue like this. Unfortunately, I would prefer that not be the case, but it's very clear that that's what was coming. That's what is now. And I just want you to have a little thought on that in background, because you read that article 3 years ago, the whole tone of it is like it would be ridiculous for that to be happening. Sure enough, now they're finally admitting what we knew then and what you know now. So we have another guest on the show for this segment in this edition of the Texas Values Report. And we want to jump to that because, you know, look, there are so many issues going on that we're involved in that we cover. It's not just about public policy. It's oftentimes about what's going on in the political nature. Obviously, if you have seen, the people that are in elective office can have an impact on how these issues go. We will do our part, but we often, you know, so much of it is about who's in office too and the impact they can have on the issues that we're involved in. So our next guest is Buddy Pilgrim. Buddy is a good friend of ours here in the state of Texas, a very principled man, a very strong Christian, but he has a wealth of knowledge and experience in the area of Christian outreach, in the area of business, but also in the political field. He was in a significant role with the Ted Cruz team when Ted Cruz was running for president, and he's also been covering a lot of things that have been happening with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, as well as being very active recently at the Republican National Convention. So I want to welcome for the first time to the Texas Values Report, Buddy Pilgrim. Buddy, how you doing?
Doing great, Jonathan. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, thanks for coming on. It was good to see you earlier this week. It was a great meeting we were part of, talking with business leaders like yourself. As many people probably are familiar with the name and know you as far as being the president and CEO of Pilgrim's Pride, the $7 billion poultry company that's publicly traded. But you've got this other effort that you've been involved quite a bit that you care about in addition to the business world, and that's this intersection of Christian beliefs and faith and policy with politics. Tell us a little bit about your background and also what you're seeing over the past months and what you see with the election coming up.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, my background, most people do know me for my background at Pilgrim's Pride Corporation, which is today is the second largest chicken company in the world. I'm no longer involved in Pilgrim's in any way. I've moved on from that years back and have gone on to other things. I've run other companies. I have a consulting business. I do strategic consulting. I do expert witness work in business litigation and a variety of things like that. But one of the things that's been a passion for me all the way back to my days at Pilgrim is for Christians to have an understanding that business is not man's system, it's God's system. A lot of times you hear in churches, oh, we don't want to get involved in politics, we don't want to get too involved in business because those are worldly things, those are man's system. We need to be involved in God's systems in this earth. But what I teach in my ministry, Integrity Leadership, is that God's the one who created and ordained the concept of business because he created us, I call it individually insufficient. We not only need him in our life, we need each other in our life. And the very concept of division of labor and doing exchange is the dictionary definition of business, by the way, the exchange of goods and services. The very concept of him creating us in a way that we're more productive, we're more successful, we can accomplish more, and frankly, that's how you create wealth, is by engaging in exchange with one another. So I've been teaching for years that business is God's system. And what we as Christians need to do is make sure that we're engaged in it, we're in positions of power and authority and control, and in those positions, we're exercising our power and authority and control according to biblical standards. And the same thing applies in politics as well. Politics is just the organization of people for government. Government was God's idea. He instituted it. And people of faith, whether you're a Christian, whether you're Catholic, whether you're an evangelical Christian, a conservative Catholic, a Jew, we want people of faith, Judeo-Christian faith, to be engaged in positions to have influence in society. Because if we don't get engaged in them, if we aren't engaged in them, people who don't share our values will be engaged in them and they'll change them. And I'll just take one other second to say this. Listening to what you were saying after talking to Kim Paxton there about how the left is wanting to change these bathroom laws and their real intent was to have men go in women's restrooms from the beginning, you're exactly right. It's not conspiracy theory, black helicopter stuff, I want to tell you. From the beginning, the intent of the left on these SOGI laws, sexual identity, sexual orientation, gender identity laws, their intent has been to wipe out all differences between male and female. That's why you see in the Fort Worth schools them trying to even change the definition of what the word gender means, because when you wipe out the difference between male and female, then you begin to destroy the traditional family as the foundational unit of society, and it is the foundational unit of society. And once you destroy the family as the foundational unit of society, then you can replace the family with a government as the foundational unit of society. And government is what the left always believes is the foundational unit and the unit that should control people.
No, those are great points. I mean, you know, and so oftentimes people, you know, they just read a little bit of a article and they don't kind of get the whole full extent of some of these issues because so many things are being thrown at us every day. And so, you know, you may read a little bit deeper, you hear these things, and you're like, oh, well, that seems a little, you know, unusual, or that, you know, they're clearly that's not what they're trying to do, or, you know, and when I read the Fort Worth School District policy the first time on this and their change, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was reading. And several times I asked my staff, okay, did we get this from the school district? Is this the exact source? Because, but there you see it, you know, and there are people that clearly believe differently and they want to attack these issues. You were involved in a lot of faith outreach work on the campaign trail, if you will, on the political side. Tell us a little bit about that experience and how you see some of people of faith engaging in our current politics. We've got a big election coming up in November, and it's not just about the president. I mean, there are important issues all the way down the ballot. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing with your experience and what you see moving forward.
Absolutely. Well, most recently, I was Senator Ted Cruz's National Director for Faith and Religious Liberty. It's kind of a long title, but it's basically I was his National Director for Faith Outreach for his presidential campaign. And my primary role initially in the campaign was to reach out in particular to national faith leaders of all faiths, evangelical Christians, conservative Catholics, conservative Jews, conservative Mormons, all people of faith, to get key people around the country who are leaders in the faith community to endorse Ted Cruz. And we did that. We had more national leaders endorse Ted Cruz than any other presidential candidate who's ever run for office. And then the second phase of that was to engage people of faith at the state, the county, the local, the city level, throughout all of the states across the country, but in particular, as we thought, through the primary process, to get them engaged in the election and to help them understand that how important it is for Christians, as I said earlier, or people of faith, to say more broadly, for people of faith to get engaged in politics and express their values and their point of view in public policy and in the public square. Because if we don't, someone who holds a set of values that are different from ours will express theirs. And as we've seen in the last few years, they'll not only express it, they'll begin to ram it down our throat and force their views upon us. So I was very engaged in Senator Cruz's campaign. It wasn't a position that I sought. I sat down with the senator really to talk to him about his campaign, to decide if I was going to support him or support someone else. And he told me from the beginning that he believed that the engagement of the faith community in the November 2016 election was the single most important factor to any Republican candidate winning at the top of the ticket nationally and, frankly, in races all around the country as well. And I believe that. I shared that view even before we discussed it that day. Too many Christians, too many conservative people of faith have sat out the last few election cycles and allowed other people to vote instead. Obviously, we're going to always allow those people to vote, but they've set out, left their voice unexpressed, and we've lost election after election, not only at the presidential level, but in other places, because we haven't expressed our view. So I was a believer that Ted needed the evangelical and the faith vote in order to win. I believe Donald Trump needs it in order to win. I believe that there are people all up and down the ballot that need to win. And people of faith need to get engaged. The meeting that you and I were at earlier this week dealt with the iVoter Guide, which is a voter guide that gives people of faith a biblical worldview of standards by which to measure candidates. It's an excellent voter guide. Those not only need to be distributed in churches, they just need to be distributed to people of faith and, frankly, even people who don't necessarily share our faith but have good common core values. Need to be distributed to them all around the country so that people know who to vote for.
Because Buddy, let me jump in. Let me jump in real quick. We're talking with Buddy Pilgrim, who's got tremendous background experience in the business world, but also has been in very important roles in faith outreach and engagement in the political world as well. The resource you're mentioning too for people in Texas can be accessed at freevotersguide.com. Freevotersguide.com is the website where you can access that voters guide in the state of Texas to get that up-to-date information. And it is very important. And people need to know too, churches can produce that website link. It does not tell you how to vote. The link doesn't tell you how to vote. It's just a resource for people to pass on to their members. Here's a website that you can go to, and then people can decide on their own where to find that information. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you mentioned the website, because we do need people to go to it. And if your church doesn't pass that, you need to know where you can go to find this information on your own. But that's exactly what we've got to have, is people of faith, people with what I call conservative traditional values, even if you're not an extremely faithful church-going or synagogue-going individual. you just have the traditional values that have made this country what it is today. You need to realize that this country is slipping away from that because of the changes that have taken place in public policy, in law, in administrative law through the bureaucracies. And as an attorney, you can explain administrative law better than I can, but that's where we've had a lot of these changes take place. And the last place is through the bully pulpit, in particular of the presidency. One of the things where I think, one of the ways I think that Barack Obama has impacted this country far beyond what any of us expected is what I call changing the narrative of what is right and wrong in this country. And he has flipped it upside down and taken this country down a road towards socialism and towards leftism that I think is far further and far worse than any of us ever envisioned before he was elected. And it's time to stop it now. We've got to turn it around.
Well, and you know, time flies when you're on the radio. We got about 30 seconds left. But he tell us, you know, look, at the top of the ticket, I mean, essentially you got Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump was in Texas this week. Give us a few thoughts on your ideas, opinions, whatever, if you will, of that race at the top of the ticket.
Well, I think it's the most important race in the country, and it's the most important election in our history. I obviously wasn't a Trump supporter from the beginning, but I believe that people of faith and conservatives have to support Trump if for no other reason. It's Anthony Scalia's seat. That one seat, forget all the others, just that one seat will change dramatically the balance of the Supreme Court. And if a leftist is put in Scalia's seat, we will lose our First Amendment rights to religion, to freedom of speech, freedom of association. We'll lose our Second Amendment rights to bear arms. It's the most important seat that we've ever seen going to be replaced by an upcoming president.
Well, that's good. Thank, buddy. Great commentary, great insight, and just great depth and background on issues as it pertains particularly to Christians as well, the importance of engagement. Buddy Pilgrim has been our guest today on the Texas Values Report. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Well, we're just about out of time. I'm going to wrap things up. Go to our website, txvalues.org. We covered a lot of ground on the show today. Remember, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can donate. We need your financial support. Go to txvalues.org to make a tax-deductible donation today. And we will see you next week on the Texas Values Report on Saturdays at noon, where you can hear the latest on faith, family, and freedom in Texas.